Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm Jeannie Joseph, and so happy you're with me today because I have a really, really special guest. Debbie McGillivray is an animal communicator. She's been doing it for over 20 years, working with animals across the globe in rescues and sanctuaries and people living with their own animals, helping them understand what's going on. And we're just delighted today to kind of spend some time with Debbie and learn about what she's learned about animal wisdom from having spoken to so many animals in so many different situations about their point of view of life, because it's about time that we listen to their opinions. So Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Very, very happy to be here.
Well, before we get started, what was your journey? Were you someone that was, you know, born being able to talk to animals? Did it happen later in life? How did you get to be doing what you're doing?
You know, it's so interesting. I love this question because I think it's different for everybody who communicates with animals, their journey and how they got here. My true waking up of my soul to it came a little bit later in life, but I grew up as a very shy kid. So, you know, I always found solace with the animals and, you know, at family functions, I would be in the corner with the cat or the dog or what have you. So I always had a deep connection with animals. And, you know, of course, all of my favorite shows were the ones where the animals talked.
Right.
I can actually remember as a kid, I would sit in the barn and I used to work at a barn and I would sit there with this pony. And I would sit there for hours just waiting for him to talk to me. He never did in the way I thought he was going to talk, like Mr. Ed.
Right, Mr. Ed.
Yeah. Right.
We're all waiting for Mr. Ed, I think, all of us.
You know, I was a little kid at the time, but yeah, I was determined. I sat there all day long and nothing. So later on in life, it just really, you know, it was really a divine the way it happened, I guess. I had some friends who were going to an animal communication like weekend event. Mm-hmm. And I figured I would tag along, but I really didn't quite believe that everybody could do animal communication. I mean, I do believe everybody can now. And I really felt, you know, I'm like, well, even if I can do it, I'm not sure I want to be able to hear the animals because I can't even watch a Disney movie without crying. So if I could actually hear the animals, I thought I would be an emotional basket case. But I went anyways. I figured it would be a fun girls' weekend. And of course, a little goat changed my life. Because we had, you know, 2 days of kind of tapping into our intuition and learning how to communicate with the animals. And then we had to go out to the barn and work with some of the animals. And I went out there and this little goat summoned me over to his stall. And I went over there, I had my little notebook and I heard him say, "Your pants are funny." And I thought, well, he's right. My pants are a little weird. They had flowers all over them. But I guess at the time that was the fashion. I don't know. It was a very long time ago. And then I heard him say, "Don't you think I'm handsome?" And of course, you know, your mind says, "Well, I'm just making this up." Because it does sound like your own voice. Mm-hmm. And then I heard him say, "What do you think of my ornaments?" And I'm like, I did not make that up. I have no idea where that came from. And so we had to go back to, he said, "Move along. Other people want to talk to me." So I went and I communicated with some other animals. But still like pondering, I'm like, where did that come from? And when we went back to class, we had to explain what we got from the animals. And I explained that, you know, this little goat told me he was handsome and that my pants were funny and asked me what I thought of his ornaments. And the teacher laughed because she said, well, every day the staff goes out there and they're like, "Tyler, what do you have for ornaments today?" Because he always has stuff hanging off his horns. So to me, I really needed that proof because I was skeptical. And after that, I'm like, what the heck just happened? And I just knew in my heart, I'm like, I have got to learn everything I can about this. And I took as many classes as I could. I read every book I could, formed practice groups until I got to the point where I actually felt like I could help people and help with their animals. And I mean, the rest is history. I've been doing this for over 25 years and really feel like I, you know, I found my soul's purpose. So that's how it all started.
That's wonderful. It is interesting how everybody's journey is different. It's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I love the goat telling you that he's handsome. That's wonderful. What are some of the things that you've learned from animals about their point of view or their wisdom that kind of surprised you, maybe made you go, huh?
You know, even to this day, I will still have consultations, and they still make me, they still teach me things. I am still in disbelief sometimes of what they share. Mm-hmm. And I work with not only people's pets or, you know, animals in the home, but barn animals. I work with a lot of exotic animals at wild preserves. And I think every single animal is here for a different purpose, a different reason. And a lot of animals come into our lives to teach us things, and they come with unconditional love, mm-hmm. And such forgiveness, you know. Yes. And I think that's, you know, every single animal has a different thing to share. There was a story, I wrote a book called, with a friend of mine, called Untamed Voices. And we went around and we worked with all different types of animals to kind of communicate, gave them a chance to see if they had any messages for humanity at the time. This was over 10 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're thinking about writing another one, because I feel like in this day and age, what we're going through now as a consciousness, we are evolving so quickly. I think the animals are here to help us along with that. So I think the messages would be very interesting now. Mm-hmm. But back then, one of the animals we worked with was a lion that was rescued from Guatemala, who was in a traveling circus, kept in the back of a pickup truck in a little cage where he couldn't even stand up. Mm. So his legs were atrophied. And the Guatemalan government seized, it was like a traveling circus, and they seized him, and they needed someone to take him in because they really couldn't take care of him with the resources they had. So my friend, who owns a huge wild animal preserve, flew over there to take him back and to give him, you know, a wonderful life. Mm-hmm. And the hard thing was, when they were over there, we had to communicate with him to get back into a small, you know, not crate, but
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. In order to transport him. And they, through just love and compassion and explaining to him that once we get to where we're going, everything will be fine, he actually got in that small transport without having to be darted or sedated, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like the amount of trust after humans, you know, did that to him. And when he got all settled in his new home here in Alabama, we opened it up to him to see what his big message is. And I get goosebumps just talking about it. And the biggest thing was forgiveness. Wow. You know, and his life is great now because he was able to forgive. Mm-hmm. He has since passed into spirit. But I thought that was an amazing message.
Yes.
Just when an animal goes through so much, and we see this all the time with animals, mm-hmm. they go through so much, yet they still have room in their heart to forgive, which I just think is such a beautiful message.
It is. I mean, it's definitely something we can learn from. Mm-hmm. And have you found that communicating with, I guess I'll call them wild animals, animals that don't traditionally share homes with us, is different from communicating with animals that have kind of become used to human culture, or not? Is it not different?
You know, that's a great question. And I think it also, again, depends on the animal. I could make a broad statement about it. And I think it depends on the condition of, you know, what we consider Are they truly wild, like living free out in the jungle or in the woods, or are they in a preserve where they do have contact with humans? Because I think the messages are very different depending on what their actual, even though they may not share a home with us, if they are still a part of our lives or interacting with humans, the messages are different than an animal that is, you know, completely in the wild and free. Yeah. Well, so I just think it depends on the situation.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. And the messages can be extremely deep. You know, I worked with this beautiful wolf who was preparing to transition. And she was a wolf that a friend of mine rescued in, you know, at her preserve. And she was declining in health. And we knew that she was going to be leaving her body. And my friend had asked, you know, how much longer, like, what do I need to do to support her during this process? And she was so specific. She said, you will be getting 3 baby wolves. And at the time, my friend's like, there's no way this can happen. It was unfathomable at the time. Mm-hmm. And she said that 3 baby wolves will be anchor the energy at the preserve. They will take over my enclosure. She says, after that happens, I will leave my body. And the day I will leave my body, the earth will shake and I will leave. And anyways, it's just weird how it happened. There were 3 baby wolves that needed to be rescued. She took them in. And a few days later, there was this horrible storm that rumbled over, lightning and thunder, and the earth shook. Mm. And my friend went down and she had left her body.
Wow.
So it's amazing, you know, again, how I think some animals are so in tune with when they're going to leave. They're in tune with also the earth's energy. They're so, you know, to the point where we're, you know, I don't think we're aware of that sometimes. I think our animals know us better than we know ourselves. They are so in tune with our energies. And sometimes the messages will come through that people need to change this, this, and this about their life. Mm-hmm. Because they sense something or they're worried about something with the people with their person, because they sense things that we may not even realize are exist in our energy.
Yes, yes. And just on the animals that share our lives, they gain, you know, love and shelter and food. Do they lose anything in being so attuned to the stuff that we humans go through?
I don't know if I would say they lose anything, because I truly feel like they choose to be with us. Mm-hmm. You know, I do feel like there is a soul contract there and they do choose to come into our lives for a reason. They reincarnate back into our lives many times, mm-hmm. more often probably than we realize. And I feel like they, again, with their unconditional love, they choose to come into an existence, I think, to help us grow, to help our souls. And I feel like we help them as well. Sometimes there's an area of their life where they feel like they need to maybe grow or learn. So we kind of learn together. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the most difficult animals that have, I've had my share of animals who are challenging, but they, a lot of times they mirror back to us the very thing that we need to work on or change or overcome. Whether it's fear or, you know, insecurity, that type of thing. So I always tell people, think about the type of animal that always comes into your life. What are we attracting? What are they trying to help us learn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fascinating.
So I don't know if I answered that question. I know
that's okay. No, it's good. It's good. It's just so fascinating to, you know, just look at another point of view, you know, and look at it from a four-legged or a feathered point of view. We're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I'd love it if you would tell us what you've learned from animals about the process of transition, how they feel about that. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection Podcast. I'm Jeannie Joseph, and I'm speaking with animal communicator Debbie McGillivray. And we are talking about what you've learned from animals about how they feel about passing, the process of transition, and maybe what they can share with you about their lives post-physical life.
Sure. I think animals view transitioning or death, even though we don't really die, much different than we do. For them, it truly is a transition. It's just a different energy. I feel like they're so much more aware of that or in tune to that than we are. I think we're getting better as a species of understanding that process. But I feel like animals are, I think, much more comfortable with it. The hardest thing I think they have is leaving us or leaving us in a state of despair.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of times, I call it the boomerang effect. A lot of times when an animal transitions or if I'm working with an animal in spirit, I get this boomerang. And to me, that shows me that they're thinking about coming right back, you know, into our lives, whether it's as another animal or something else. I find a lot of times they want to come right back into our lives to complete the process. And as far as transitioning, animals have described to me exactly what it feels like. And again, I think with people, it's a little bit different depending on the animal and how they passed. You know, I think the greatest thing we can do is help an animal leave a body that is no longer serving them and to allow them to transition with their people around them and in love. I think that's that's the gift we can give them when their body no longer serves them. Mm-hmm. And they describe it as, you know, being surrounded by love, you know, leaving their body easier. But I will preface that by saying as well that some animals do choose to leave when we're not around because they feel like it's easier to slip out of their body without us anchoring them there. And and I know a lot of people feel guilty if they're not there when their animal transitions, but a lot of times that is their choice. You know, they do choose that sometimes to spare us the pain. Sometimes it's because that's the way the soul needed to go. Depending on how they leave, a lot of times it is their choice, unless we make the choice for them, which is necessary sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know people struggle with that, but a lot of times our animals will let us know when it is time for them to transition. And the process is beautiful. You know, it's the soul leaves. It's like, in very simple terms, it's like taking off the suit, you know, taking off the coat of the body, and then the soul can be free. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they are greeted by people or animals from the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. They know. A lot of times they'll see angels around an animal as they are preparing to pass or as their time is getting closer. And to me, that means that, you know, they are there to help them transition, surrounded by love. And, you know, once they get, it's not the other side, but once they are fully in their spirit form, they can do whatever they'd like. But a lot of times they want to watch over us. You know, they talk about being in our lives still. I had a consultation a while ago with this mother and daughter, and the daughter had lost her pony. They had to put her pony down. And the girl was really distraught. So they had reached out to me to see if we can communicate with their pony in spirit. And the pony came right through and walked me, you know, so when I communicate with them, they'll show me pictures or I'll hear their words. And the pony showed me the little girl's room exactly, you know, what the bed looked like, where the closet was, that the bed that at night the girl would open up the closet door and there was the pony, pieces of the pony's tail hanging in the closet door. And the girl would stroke the tail. She had a picture under her pillow of the pony and a carousel horses somewhere in the room. And the pony showed me all this. And that's exactly what the girl's room looked like. And it validated it for her that, oh, my gosh, my pony is in my room, even, you know, in spirit form. And it just changed her whole view of it all. And then the little girl was so cute. She parked up and she's like, can you ask my pony if he came to us on our trip to New York? And so I asked the pony this, and the pony was so cute. She's like, yes, you had my favorite treats in your pocket. And the girl said, yeah. She says, I reached in my pocket. I had peppermints when we in my winter coat when we were there. And that was this pony's favorite treat. So I just think it validates for us that they are with us. You know, they vibrate at a different energy level that we just can't see them, mm-hmm. but they are there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They exist among us, just a different vibration without physical form.
And I guess all animals are different in terms of how much they want to be here after they have left here, I guess. But is it possible to that we call on them too much or pull them back too much, or is it just right?
I think if we suffer with a lot of grief after an animal transitions, and I think people do this all the time, you know, we was it the right time, or, you know, and there's that heavy, heavy energy. I think that is hard for an animal in spirit to just be around that, or to see that, to witness that they feel like they caused that. That is the hardest thing. I think calling on them, they love the fact that if they pop into our mind, that we acknowledge it. That brings them great joy. And they'll play with us sometimes, you know, as well. They'll leave us little signs. And the more we acknowledge it and can kind of be in an energy of love and acceptance and kind of surrender instead of that heavy guilt and sadness, which is, you know, not easy to do, obviously, but it's easier for the animals to leave us messages and things like that if our vibration is a little bit higher, you know, with that love and joy, surrender, instead of, you know, the guilt or the sadness. That's a very dense, heavy energy, and it's harder for the animals to kind of give us messages or to let us know that they are there.
That's, yeah, very good. Very good to understand that, yeah. Now, you've talked to all different species. Do you, I mean, all animals are wonderful, but just between you and me, do you have a favorite?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
It doesn't have to be. Well, given that you love them all, who stands out for the purpose of this conversation?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I will say, I think the easiest animal to communicate with, I really feel are horses. I don't know why, you know, I love all animals, but I grew up with, I was a horse crazy kid. So, you know, horses are a love of mine, and my horse, who I got when he was 4, he's now going to be 35. He was the one who got me into animal communication. And I just think horses they want to share with us a lot. So they're very open and they're very compassionate. In a way that I find they're very easy to communicate with.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And, you know, horses, of course, like many animals, have been terribly mistreated by humans. Yeah. Have they forgiven us?
Yeah. You know, I feel like animals have a great capacity to forgive, more so probably than humans.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I do believe that they forgive us. I think they do carry a lot of scars as well in their psyche and on their heart from past things that we have done or through their legacy. So that is there for sure. And I feel like sometimes they do try to, I think they override a lot of that to help us. You know, their heart is so big and so pure. And, you know, I do feel like horses heal in many, many ways. And you can only do that through forgiveness and love. You know, you can't hold a grudge and also heal.
Yeah. Fascinating. Great. And so what animals do you have in your life currently?
Oh, I have 4 alpacas, 2 horses, 3 chickens, 4 cats, and 2 dogs.
Right. And are any of them ones that have been in your life previously, or are they all new to you?
So most of them have been in my life before. Not all of them, though. So, but yes, the dogs, the cats, a few of the alpacas have all been in my life before. Not as the same species, however.
Right. And have you noticed anything in terms of why an animal might choose to come back as a dog or a horse or a cat? Or what have you noticed about those choices?
I think part of it depends on our life, as you know, if on our life and what we are kind of needing or can have in our life at that time. So a lot depends on that, I believe. And it also depends on, I'll just refer to a friend of mine who, you know, who owns that wild animal preserve where she has lions and tigers and bears. And a lot of times some of those big, you know, lions and cougars will want to come back as a house cat because they want to spend more time with her inside of her life, you know, inside the house or things like that.
Wow.
So sometimes that's just a different experience for them. And then sometimes the house cat wants to come back as a rescued tiger. So it just kind of depends on, again, the mission and the animal and what is kind of needed in our life at the time.
Fascinating. Really interesting. Great. Well, all right. Do you have any last messages for our audience who might want to think about their own journey with animal communication? Maybe they're just beginning their journey of exploration.
It's really that we can all do it. And the information comes through in different ways. Sometimes we hear it. Sometimes we see pictures. Sometimes we feel it in our body, or it's a gut feeling. You know, you just have that feeling that something's wrong, or to trust that. I always tell people, you know your animals better than anybody else. Trust what you're feeling. Trust your gut. Get out of your head and just kind of go into your heart. You know, the heart always tells the truth. So if you can practice, you know, brain-heart coherence would be the easiest way to really just sink down into your heart, get out of your head. And I feel like the information comes through much clearer. It really is a heart-to-heart communication. So if you think of it that way, you don't block ourselves as much. You know, our mind tries to jeopardize our intuition every step of the way. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing this. It just does. And if you recognize that, you can kind of put it aside and, again, drop down into your heart and trust that you can communicate with your animals just as good as anybody else. It's hard with our own because we know them so well. So we do try to, you know, allow our mind to intervene a bit. But I guess that is what I would leave everybody, is to just trust in that and find quiet time just one-on-one with your animal. Don't expect things. Just be with them and see what comes through.
That's great. So unlike the little girl sitting with the pony waiting for him to talk to Mr. Ed, we just want to recognize that they may talk to us on a nonverbal, silent, telepathic way, and to just trust that information that's coming to us heart to heart.
Beautiful. Don't do what I did.
Well, we all have to make mistakes on the journey. Great. Well, I know you've written 3 books, Untamed Voices, The Idiot's Guide to Pet Communication. Is that correct?
Pet Psychic Communication.
Pet Psychic Communication and Animal Communication Bootcamp. I know you offer classes online, and you also will do private sessions for people by Zoom and phone, I guess. So how can people best contact you?
Just through my website, animaltelepathy.com.
Okay. Wonderful. All right. Well, do you have any last messages from any of your animals to our audience?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me just tune in one sec here.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm getting. and it's just simple. It's to lighten up, have fun, and don't be so serious.
Great advice. And who was that from? Which one of your animals?
That was from my cat, who was sitting there staring at me like, why are you working?
Was that the cat traveled across in the beginning? Yes. So I had a feeling she had a message. She was not going to be, you're not going to do this session without taking a message from me to the audience.
Oh, yes. I'm lucky that the water didn't ruin my computer. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you just never know when a cat crosses your path. It might just be a crossing, or it might be a message for you. So keep listening. Keep your heart open. Debbie, thank you so much for being with us here at the Human Animal Connection.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, we'll talk. Let's do this again soon.
That would be great. Thank you again.
All right, we'll say aloha for now. See you at the next episode of the Human Animal Connection.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.